Okay, the way the call-up meeting works is we're looking for people to talk about why they're in Calix for a maximum of 5 minutes each. Tracy, would you like to call the first number?
Can you hear?
Oh, we can hear you now.
Pull it back a little bit.
I guess you can hear me now. Okay. Al, I guess, is going to be in the back of the room there, and if you are exceeding your 5 minutes, he's going to give you the hook. So keep an eye on him. Okay. How about we have Jim draw
an L number?
All right. Here.
Okay. I'll know. Oh, you want to?
Well, I've got the microphone.
Yeah.
Okay.
You want to know.
Here we go. Let's see which way. 811097.
It's mine.
Oh.
That was not fixed.
Tracy, how'd you do that? I'm Jim, alcoholic. I only got 5 minutes, thank the Lord. Why did I get in Calix? I got in Calix because somebody who knew I was in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. Well, I'm going to go back a step. I had a couple of spiritual experiences. I had a God, but I didn't have any religion. And that was before I met my wife. And just about the time I met her, I started having these longings for something. And I wound up, to make a long story short, converting to being a Catholic. Well, I'm one of these guys that never goes into things very quickly. I mean, I ease my way in. I'm always kind of keeping an eye on things. Well, this guy collared me. He knew I was in AA. He was this is in Montemita, at the parish that I'm at now. And he came up and he says, you ought to come to our meeting on Sunday. And I said, what meeting's that? And he said, well, it's a Calix meeting. I said, I don't know anything about that. And that's why you ought to come to the meeting, he said. So, typical cautious Jim, I went to the meeting, and if you'd asked me, I'm being dead honest, if you'd asked me after that meeting how I felt, I would have said, yeah, it was okay. But I wasn't lit up. I was, I said it was okay. But that was typical of me. My faith grew like that, and Calix grew like that. The problem is this guy was such an operator. It was a fellow named Don Murphy that, I gradually increased my attendance at these meetings once a month. Next thing I know, I'm on the board. He comes to me, he says, I'm going off the board this year. You're a perfect replacement. And I said, what's the board? I didn't even know what the so-called international was. I knew there was something out there bigger, so I go to the first board meeting, and I'm kind of lukewarm on the whole thing and all that kind of stuff. I go along, and, Dave Hackle, and Jerry's here. Dave Hackle called me up, and he said, well, we ought to ride together since you're going to these board meetings. And I saw how involved he was, and I thought, well, I don't know that I've got that much time for all this stuff. And, next thing I know, they're talking about, why don't you be president? President, why would I want to do that? I didn't say this, but why would I want to do that? So, well, the story. I'm not going to go on and on about it. But, whether it's me or you sitting out there, I have my own particular attributes that I tend to go into things slowly, but I really commit. I mean, I'm a stayer, and I'll probably have to be in a box now before I quit. But the enrichment I've gotten through the spirituality started with AA, it's really grown with Calix, and I really believe in Bible study and that type of thing. My wife, she's not here, but will be here for the banquet, just was a blessing to me in my growth, and I'm going to hang it up because Al is waving at me, so thank you.
Back east.
I'm Chaz. I'm an alcoholic and a grateful member of Calyx. Well, like I said earlier, my sponsor in AA, who I picked to be my sponsor, I picked three temporaries when I first got out of rehab. And he started going to Calyx. And he says, why don't you come to Calyx? Yeah, well, what's Calyx? Well, it's a mass, and it's a meeting for basically Catholic alcoholics. Well, I was always involved with my faith. I mean, even when I drank, I went to church with hangovers. You know, until the end, and when I, you know, the last 5 years, I didn't do too much at all. When the merry-go-round was really spinning. But why Calyx is when I first started going, I was like... Like Jim said, I mean, first of all, it was like a bunch of old men. I says, man, I don't know about this. Well, here I am. I'm an old man myself now. But, you know, 19 years later, I'm still going to Calyx. It just like grows on you. I don't know what it is about it. First of all, it's a Eucharist. It's a Mass, especially when you have a priest. We had Father Tom, who was in addiction, who you could relate to. And actually, I don't know if he had get permission for that, but he used to get this grape juice, non-alcoholic wine. And we took partake of that. You know, he blessed it. And I don't think the bishop gave him permission to do that. I don't know. But at our meetings, we had that. Now, with the new priest, we don't have that. But he'll let you. He'll leave it on the altar if you want to take a sip of the real, real precious blood. No problem with it for now. But why Calyx is because I can express my Catholic religion and talk about my Catholic religion a lot more wide open at a Calyx meeting than I can at a regular AA meeting. And I just feel a lot more comfortable. Even though that I will, if I'm talking or speaking or what we call back in Pittsburgh leading at an AA meeting, I will mention Calyx and I will say that my higher power is Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, and Holy Spirit, and then I'll tell them I'm Catholic. You know, I have no problem with that. But I can't, you know, wide openly talk and discuss like you can at a Calyx meeting because we have the same bond. We're both, both alcoholics and basically Catholic. Not all members are Catholic, but we still have the same bond, and that's why Calyx for me. And it's just something about it. I just try to make it. I miss occasionally if something else is going on. But I think it's a pretty good organization. I'm just glad to be here and still surprised that I'm president, but I'm still glad to be here. Thanks.
Way back east. My name's Ken Johnston, and I'm from the Philadelphia chapter. And it's great to be here. And why Calyx? Last night at dinner, and then right after the last session, I was talking to one of the gents that's visiting us from Cedar Rapids. And I was telling the story of how Calyx came to Philadelphia. And it really shows how much the Holy Spirit works. And I guess it started probably about 5 years ago now, maybe 6 years ago. I was looking into the diaconate. And at the time, I had two young children that were 2 and 4. Or 1 and 3, they're 2 years apart, so it was either 1 and 3 or 2 and 4. And I was all gung-ho, my wife was gung-ho, we were going to do it. And the more we prayed about it, the more we realized I just didn't have the time to do it. So instead I went to a 3-year program that the Archdiocese of Philadelphia runs called the Church Ministry Institute. And it's basically for people that are already in ministry or looking to get involved in ministry. And they kind of give you a foundation, Bible study, some theology, ethics, you know, all these different topics, a series of courses over the course of the 3 years. But part of that was that you had to do a project in your third year. And at the time, I was already a lector. I was an extraordinary minister of Holy Communion. I was taking communion to the homebound. I was leading a Bible study. And the last thing I needed was any more projects. But in the second year, this message kept coming to me in prayer and in dreams of doing something for Catholics in recovery. So I recommitted myself to AA. I hooked up with a new sponsor that was a Bible thumper, was taking people through the steps using the big book. And at the same time, I was matching it up with the Catholic faith. And I'm thinking about all these Catholics, that, you know, especially those of us that were fortunate to be born and raised in the Catholic Church. We have these all these wonderful tools that we were raised with that we can fall back on when we're in recovery. When I first read the steps, when I first got sober in 91, and I'm looking at there, and I could relate to the fourth and fifth step thing. It was confession. I know today that the fourth and fifth are a lot more than just going to confession. But there were tools that I was born and raised with that I could use in order to get the spiritual part of the program. So I started off on my own program. I was journaling, writing. I was going to write a book. I had found an article from a priest had written in the 1950s up in Canada saying Catholics shouldn't go to Alcoholics Anonymous because in how it works, it says we are not saints. And if you're Catholic, you know that that's what we're all supposed to aspire to, even though it's not always achievable here and now. But we believe when we get to heaven that we will be saints. So my program, Ken's program, was going to be we are not saints, dot, 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 yet. And I set out on this path. I had to get the okay from my pastor in order to implement it, and I went to Monsignor Flood, and I explained to him what I wanted to do, and he said, Ken, nope, that's not what you're doing. I want you to implement the neocatechumenate in our parish. I had no idea what the neocatechumenate was. I started reading about it. I didn't like the things I was reading, but because of where I was in my faith, is if this is what Monsignor wants, this is what Monsignor's going to get. So I dropped what I was doing and started down this path. He decided within a month, after talking to one of his Maronite missionary buddies, that this wasn't something he should be doing in his parish. And he came back to me and said, Ken, go do your own thing. Well, I had completely stopped, shut down what I was working on. And I went back on the internet and I did a search for that article. And to this day, I have not been able to find it again. But what I did find was Calyx. And that was in September or October of, 3 years ago. I got in touch with Jim. He put me in touch with Joe McGurn over in Camden. I went over to Joe's meeting that November. By January, we were running a rogue meeting in my parish. We didn't have permission from the bishop, but I had a bunch of Catholic guys that I was going on retreat with that liked what I was telling them about Calyx and wanted to get involved. So we got started, and it's really been a blessing. I shared last night with Amy about what some of the things that have been going on as far as meeting Father McKay and working with the alcoholics in South Philadelphia. We went the first year we had 12 meetings. We had different people give talks on how they relate to AA with their Catholic faith. The second year we did the Calyx and the 12 Steps, and now we're using the great publication that was finally put out this year with the Stations of the Cross. So Calyx was a godsend to me and helped me implement something that I thought was desperately needed. I got tired of going to AA meetings and hearing people start out, my name is so-and-so, and I was born and raised Catholic, and then they never talked about anything Catholic after that. And it's like, here's people that have all these tools that if they're just reminded of what they are and how important they can be in their recovery, that, how much better their spirituality would be. So Calyx has been a godsend to me. And I'll just close with this. I had to go back a year after after we implemented, the nun that ran the program saw the success I was having and we were having and the Holy Spirit was having, and it's all the Holy Spirit, not me, and asked me to go back to the third year class of that program and give a talk on what I had done. And I had this whole thing planned out, had it all written out, and that night I'm going to bed and the thing that kept running through my mind was the line from Jeremiah, and I had it on the back of my car for a long time, the pro-life thing where it says, before I created you in the womb, I knew you. And it was that morning when I woke up that I realized that thousands of years ago, God knew what I was going to do and that I was going to get involved in Calyx and that this was, this was my role in life, was to work with Catholics that are in recovery. So it's really been a godsend, and it was finally great after 40-some years to realize why God put me on this planet. So thanks for letting me share.
Hey, my name's Don. I'm an alcoholic. And my first experience with Calyx came through my father. He's from Sioux City, Iowa. I don't think there's anybody here from Sioux City. But they've been pretty actively involved there for probably a little over 20 years. And my dad tells a story about Calyx when they first started it. He would go to the Elks Club, which was a place that he would go and relax after a tough day. And there was a guy down there by the name of Phil Keating. Phil Keating's now passed away, but Phil always had a drink in his hand. I used to go to the Elks Club with my dad from time to time, and Phil was always there and always had a drink in his hand. And he said to my dad, "Hey, well, where you been, George?" And George said, "Well, we went to Calix." And Phil said, "Well, what's Calix?" He said, "Well, it's an AA program for Catholics." And Phil said, "Boy, I bet you that place was packed." So it kind of goes to speak what in Sioux City, Iowa, what they think of the Catholic and the alcohol abuse. I moved to Cedar Rapids in 1998, and the time I moved there, I was still practicing alcoholism. I was trying to figure out a way I could drink and maintain my sanity. And I wasn't doing real well, but I was I think it was mentioned today, I was able to work, make money, and do what I needed to do. It was the emotional and the spiritual things I was having a real problem with. I was the type of guy, I quit drinking for 12, 13 years, was sober, but I was still a liar, a cheater, doing all the other things that brought me pleasure. And I think the first priest that spoke today, talked a little bit about, I was a guy that looked for pleasure. I was looking for the pleasure boat constantly. I knew drinking probably wasn't an option for me, but I continued to do those things, and then drinking became part of it. And I really suffered for about 5 or 6 years, and I stopped. I went back to AA, and I still had that old behavior that I didn't want to let go. And it says on page 68, 69, 70 of the big book, we're doomed if we think we can continue to be who we are and not drink. It just doesn't work out. And that's where I was at. So I went back to drinking again, and I pushed the envelope a little bit further. My spiritual life, it really was starting to suffer. And I thought I'd cross that line where it says in chapter 5, you know, capacity to be honest. Did I lose that? Boy, I was really afraid I did. God had turned me over to myself. And now what am I going to do? I've blown it for the first 52 years. What am I going to do now? So I swallowed some pride, because pride leads the way of the seven deadly. And I had them all. And I swallowed my pride and went back to a meeting. And I went to another meeting the next day, and I ran into Mo. And I knew Mo from when I went before. And the first thing Mo says, "Where the hell you been?" I said, "Well," I gave her another try, Mo, and I was in a lot of pain. And so Mo said, "Well, you need some spiritual help," after we got to talking. He said, "You need a little spiritual help." And I said, "Well, yeah, I'm open." And so he introduced me to Clark. And Clark's here with us too today. And Clark is pretty active in the Catholic Church in Marion, Iowa, which is right outside of Cedar Rapids. And we got to talking, and I mentioned Calix, and he took the ball and ran with it. And the thing I want to share about Clark, and I don't mean to embarrass him, but Clark is a walking miracle. About 2 months ago, or maybe 90-some days ago, he had a lung transplant. And prior to this, I always knew Clark was oxygen and carrying it around, but it's another reason why I keep coming back. And without this program, and Mo and I talk about a lot of stuff, but the simplicity of this program is go out and help other people. And I think a question was asked this morning, what can we do to prevent people from going back out with the legal system and whatnot? My suggestion is go to the hospitals, go to doctors, go to psychologists, give them your name. And say, have somebody call me if they're having. I've done it. It's worked for me. I get these calls from really crazy people, but it's what seems to be keeping me sober, and the spirituality piece, that letting go. And the last 9 months of my life have been the best 9 months of my life. I really got a lot of love for these guys here, because these were the guys that, boy, if I didn't get that little keep an open mind, just keep going, I don't think I'd be here today. So the sponsorship, the fellowship, and the guidance that I get from God on a daily basis. And I hope that we are able to put this Calix thing together in Cedar Rapids, because, as Phil Keating said, boy, I bet you that place will be packed. So that's all I got. Thanks. Hey, my name's Don. I'm an alcoholic. And my first experience with K-Lakes came through my father. He's from Sioux City, Iowa. I don't think there's anybody here from Sioux City. But they've been pretty actively involved there for probably a little over 20 years. And my dad tells a story about K-Lakes when they first started it. He would go to the Elks Club, which was a place that he would go and relax after a tough day. And there was a guy down there by the name of Phil Keating. Phil Keating's now passed away, but Phil always had a drink in his hand. I used to go to the Elks Club with my dad from time to time, and Phil was always there and always had a drink in his hand. And he said to my dad, "Hey, well, where you been, George?" And George said, "Well, we went to K-Lakes." And Phil said, "Well, what's K-Lakes?" He said, "Well, it's an AA program for Catholics." And Phil said, "Boy, I bet you that place was packed." So it kind of goes to speak what in Sioux City, Iowa, what they think of the Catholic and the alcohol abuse. I moved to Cedar Rapids in 1998. And at the time I moved there, I was still practicing alcoholism. I was trying to figure out a way I could drink and maintain my sanity. And I wasn't doing real well, but I think it was mentioned today, I was able to work, make money, and do what I needed to do. It was the emotional and the spiritual things I was having a real problem with. I was the type of guy, I quit drinking for 12, 13 years, was sober, but I was still a liar, a cheater, doing all the other things that brought me pleasure. And I think the father, the first priest that spoke today, talked a little bit about, I was a guy that looked for pleasure. I was looking for the pleasure boat constantly. I knew drinking probably wasn't an option for me, but I continued to do those things, and then drinking became part of it. And I really suffered for about 5 or 6 years, and I stopped, and I went back to AA, and I still had that old behavior that I didn't want to let go. And it says on page 68, 69, 70 of the big book, we're doomed if we think we can continue to be who we are and not drink. It just doesn't work out. And that's where I was at. So I went back to drinking again, and I pushed the envelope a little bit further. My spiritual life had really was starting to suffer. And I thought I'd cross that line where it says in chapter 5, you know, capacity to be honest. Did I lose that? Boy, I was really afraid I did. God had turned me over to myself. And now what am I going to do? I've blown it for the first 52 years. What am I going to do now? So I swallowed some pride, because pride leads the way of the seven deadly. And I had them all. And I swallowed my pride and went back to a meeting. And I went to another meeting the next day, and I ran into Mo. And I knew Mo from when I went before, and the first thing Mo says, "Where the hell you been?" I said, "Well," I gave her another try, Mo, and I was in a lot of pain. And so Mo said, "Well, you need some spiritual help," after we got to talking. He said, "You need a little spiritual help." And I said, "Well, yeah, I'm open." And so he introduced me to Clark. And Clark's here with us too today. And Clark is pretty active in the Catholic Church in Marion, Iowa, which is right outside of Cedar Rapids. And we got to talking, and I mentioned K-Lakes, and he took the ball and ran with it. And the thing I want to share about Clark, and I don't mean to embarrass him, but Clark is a walking miracle. About 2 months ago, or maybe 90-some days ago, he had a lung transplant. And prior to this, I always knew Clark was oxygen and carrying it around, but it's another reason why I keep coming back. And without this program, and Mo and I talk about a lot of stuff, but the simplicity of this program is go out and help other people. And I think a question was asked this morning, what can we do to prevent people from going back out with the legal system and whatnot? My suggestion is go to the hospitals, go to doctors, go to psychologists, give them your name and say, have somebody call me if they're having. I've done it. It's worked for me. I get these calls from really crazy people, but it's what seems to be keeping me sober, and the spirituality piece, that letting go. And the last 9 months of my life have been the best 9 months of my life. I really got a lot of love for these guys here, because these were the guys that, boy, if I didn't get that little keep an open mind, just keep going, I don't think I'd be here today. So the sponsorship, the fellowship, and the guidance that I get from God on a daily basis. And I hope that we are able to put this Calyx thing together in Cedar Rapids because, as Phil Keating said, boy, I bet you that place will be packed. That's all I got there.
Good job. Use a feed, but...
yeah, I'm an alcoholic. My name is Joe. I love everybody in the room here. Everybody, especially the woman. What a life. My sobriety date is 10-16-68. Came to AA on National Bosses Day. Any bosses in here? I don't like you if you're a boss. What a life. And I met Bill W. Three things I liked about Bill. He was a veteran. I'm a veteran. He never picked his degree up from college. And the other thing I liked about Bill, he never became a Catholic. Thank God, in my opinion, because we wouldn't be here, the Catholic renders, AA. That's how I feel. What a life. In Calyx, I was introduced at Calyx at Chester, New Jersey. A man I sponsored knew a guy up in Chester, and we went up and we went to the mass and everything, and we liked it. And we decided to have a unit here in South Jersey. Where I am, I'm right across the street from Philadelphia, 10 minutes from Philadelphia. And I just, a beautiful life, I'll tell you. AA is not my whole life. You know, Calyx is not my whole life. If I have a heart attack here, don't take me to a Calyx meeting. Take me to the hospital. And two things I try to do every day. Not to drink is the biggest one. And I don't know that until tonight. Who got up before 6 this morning and didn't drink? Anybody? You got more time than I have. And the other thing is to laugh. Don't be a puss face. My God, you look around and see these puss faces. And my laugh goes like this. Ha, 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 ha. Ha, 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 ha. What a life. What a life. Came to AA, 36 years old. I'm 77 now. I only lost a few things since I came to AA. A lot of hair. My eyesight's not that great. Just for the girls, it's good, though. And I got the most beautiful girl in the universe. You girls can relax, you know. And here I am. An old man. Got all those degrees. I'm a college graduate. I'm a Navy veteran. I went to college. I have a BS degree. Bachelor of Science, I know what you're thinking. And this degree and that degree, and the best degree I ever had, I had to go to Driver's Improvement School. And that's where I heard about AA. And October 16th, 1968, pouring rain, came in the house. Many times I stepped out on the park bench. You heard it in AA, park bench to Park Avenue, Yale to jail. I've been in jail too, by the way. And I went in that night, and two angels appeared at the foot of my bed. They're shaking me. Dad, Dad, get up. Can you drive us to school? I said, I can't drive you to school. I'm sick. My sons collectively said, Dad, you're always sick. That was my bottom. And I asked God for help, and God comes first before AA and dragged me to the Philadelphia County phone book. I lived out in Delaware County outside of Philadelphia. Call that number up, 7 o'clock in the morning. And then a Jewish man, just like Jesus, answered the phone, Marvin Grabowski. And he was nice to me and talked to me, and here I am, 77 years old now. You know, and it's a beautiful life. And Calyx is part of my life also. I know one page in a big book, and I bet you a cup of coffee. We're on at page 63. Check it out, Third Step Prayer. I use it twice a day, when I get up in the morning and when I go to bed. And it goes like this. God, I offer myself to thee, to build with me and to do with me as thy will. Relieve me of bondage of self so I can better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May I do thy will always. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Craig Corder. I'm from Lincoln, and I'm alcoholic. And I began going to Calyx because I was a bachelor. I sobered up, and my wife at that time, after about a year, said, I think I'll file for divorce. You need to find a place to live. So it wasn't long. I guess the end of that month, I noticed in a church bulletin on Sunday that there was a potluck meal available if you just come to a meeting. So, and it was Calyx, so I went. I think I took chips. I can't remember. But I was single for 7 years, and I met Mary that summer at a Calyx meeting. And Calyx right away was the place for me to go. Nobody welcomed me with great open arms and said, gee, I hope you come back next month. We really need you. But I felt that anyway. And time went along, and I used my faith to deal with the divorce and deal with getting sober and staying sober. And Calyx inspired my faith. I'm a better Catholic because of Calyx. When I was drinking and married the first time, I went to Mass every Sunday. I was an usher, wore a red jacket at church. All of us ushers did that. And when I wasn't doing that, I was up lecturing on the altar. And when I sobered up, all of that kind of quit, kind of went away. For one thing, I was divorced and eventually moved out of that parish. And Mary and I got married, and we continued Calyx, and we were in a new parish clear across town, so I had a lot of new people to get to know. And I was the name in the church bulletin once a month on Sunday. Call Craig at 438-6319 if you have a concern about alcoholism. The Calyx meeting is the last Sunday of the month. And nothing really happened in my parish with regard to me until Father stopped me after Mass one Sunday and said, we need lectors. Would you be a lector? And we'd been there for, I don't know, 10 years, I suppose, nearly that long. And I said, well, I said I'd never be a lector again because I lectured a time or two after when I had a jag on, you know, go to Mass after I'd been drinking. And so I just thought, well, I'll just never do that again. But I said yes, went to lector training. Our bishop makes sure we're trained and installed officially at the cathedral. A lot of people come. And when we mentioned to Mary's brother who lives in Grand Island, which is about 100 miles away, he came down with his wife when I was installed. So being a Catholic's kind of a big deal in the Corder family, this part of the Corder family. The Costellos, many of you know the Costellos, they're responsible for Calyx, largely responsible for Calyx in Lincoln. They moved out of town for a few years, and there wasn't anybody left for the leadership in Lincoln. So it kind of fell to me, and I planned several retreats, I think five retreats, Calyx retreats, and managed to keep the unit going. And started coming to these conventions. And I just wouldn't miss one of these unless I absolutely had to. These conventions mean a lot to me. To see the people I see once a year, they make a lot of difference. And I can tell you this, that Calyx is as important to me as any of the AA meetings I go to. But I still go to 3 AA, or at least try to go to 3 AA meetings a week. Now, there are times that doesn't work out real well. The last couple of weeks we've been busy, and I haven't been able to get to my regular meetings. But this is as important for my recovery in alcohol addiction as anything I do, coming to these meetings and being a Catholic and making sure that people know I'm a Catholic. That's all I've got. Thank you.
I'm some guy from Iowa, and I'm an alcoholic. They call me Mo. And I remember the passage in the big book about contempt prior to investigation being a big problem that I had and still have to a certain extent today. We heard about Calix. To back up, due to God sponsorship, reading the big book, going to Alcoholics Anonymous meetings regularly, I have not had the need nor the desire to drink since the 8th of November, 1993, and for that I'm really grateful. And one thing, I don't know what happened to me. My experience was almost of the electric and profound experience that Bill W. had, and yet it seems like the longer I'm here, the more of the educational variety I know I'm experiencing. And I think Calix has a little bit to do with that. I heard about Calix in 1993, got sober in Omaha, Nebraska, worked almost immediately with a sponsor, Ray C., who with his wife Teresa is a wonderful Catholic couple. And I began to go to daily Mass every day because I knew that if there was a loophole in this Alcoholics Anonymous game, I'd be able to find it. And I guess I wasn't really smart enough to resent my Catholic upbringing. So I went to Mass early and sat there and listened. And, you know, it was just tremendous for me. Father Mac, McMahon was his name. He'd been floating around the Archdiocese of Omaha for a while and got hooked into our parish at St. Peter's on the corner of Leavenworth and 28th Street. And after showing up at Mass every day for maybe 2 months, Father Mac finally, I would be coming, I'd approach at communion time, and Father Mac would say, Body of Christ, come see me after Mass for a cup of tea. And so he and I became fast friends, and that was wonderful. And I don't know if I heard about Calix through Father Mac or if it was through Ray Cushing, my sponsor, but I sort of pushed it to the back. I thought, well, you know, I'm in Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm going to daily Mass. Maybe I don't want to become too involved with all these names. And I really don't know what happened exactly. But I moved to Cedar Rapids, Marion area in 2002. And it was only recently that the word Calix even came up in conversation locally. I've been to literally hundreds of meetings where people would would talk about being recovered recovered Catholics, and you know, we've all gone through meetings like that. And I think at some point, coupled with the idea of knowing Clark White and Dudley, that maybe I need to be listening for what's going on, and the name Calix came back up in conversation. So I don't know, why Calix? I guess my question today is, why not Calix? And I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
I almost made it 10 minutes, yeah. Hi, I'm Louise, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Louise.
And I'm from the Pittsburgh unit. And just a little bit before I became sober, well, I had 12 years of Catholic school, and there were a lot of people I've heard through this program that had some bad experiences with Catholic school, but I loved my nuns and everything, so I had a great experience. But I knew I had a problem, but I didn't know what to do with it, with my alcoholism when I first admitted it. And I thought if I went back to church, because I have left the church, didn't really go to Mass or anything, and I thought if I went back to Mass, that I would have this miracle and I would be saved, that the alcoholism would go away, and that was what was wrong. But I did that for about a couple years, and then I even start going to daily Mass, you know, and people were, you know, neighbors of mine would show up and say, what's wrong with you? And I said, oh, I'm just looking for a better life. But it didn't take away the alcoholism, obviously. And I finally got into AA. And I had a religion. I looked at it as I had a religion. But when I came to AA, I found a spirituality that I could, I didn't have to say, Our Father who art in heaven. I could say, Lord, help me. Or just any kind of prayer that I wanted to say. And that kind of freed me. Because I did have a religion, and I love my religion. But there was still that fear of all the things that I thought that I did were bad, you know, or the lies that I told, or the things I didn't do, or the way I treated people. And so, but when I came to AA, I found that I was okay, and that, I don't know, it lightened my heart. And that's the first thing that happened to me, to lift my heart, to not be so hard on myself. And then Francis, that I met in the program, talked about Calyx, and I thought, well, that would be good. And I started out, but I was working at the time, and they met on Sunday for the rosary, and I would have to get up at like 5:30 Sunday morning, and I thought, this ain't going to work, you know, so it didn't. I went for a little while, and then I thought, you know, I'm not willing, and I should have been, but I wasn't willing to get up that early and share. And then something happened, a miracle happened. They couldn't meet down at the hospital anymore, and they started to meet on Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock. Hey, that's perfect for me. I can get up, read my paper, have my coffee. And I wanted to get involved more in my Catholic religion because I had been away from it so long, probably a couple decades that I walked away from it. And so I wanted to get more involved, and I wanted to be with people that really didn't thump the Bible, because I'm not really a Bible thumper, but someone that actually knew my religion. And could talk about, from their heart, the spiritual experience that they have with alcohol, with AA, and with Calyx, and to get more people involved. And it's been a struggle, I think. I look at our unit, and it's, I don't know how many people are in the unit, actually, but I know how many people usually show up. And I'm really proud of the Philadelphia unit, because they taught us, and we're going to try to adopt it in some way to spread the word, because I want everybody to have this. I want to have AA, but I want them to know that they can share their Catholic religion with other people that know their religion. And that's what I've got from Calyx. Thanks.
What's funny about this number, because you can read this number upside down. And listen, I've been looking at the number. It's 811-089. You turn it over, it is 680-118. And I've been going, what the hell number? What is this number? I'm Mike Moen. I'm a grateful recovering alcoholic. This is my fourth Calyx convention. And I'm a Lutheran. And I haven't been able to convert anybody yet. But I'm working on it. And I'll be looking forward to next year's convention in Omaha. And how did I get here? Al Pape shanghaied me one time, and he says, I'm going over to the cathedral. Well, okay. You want to go along? And I said, why? So I'm going to a meeting called Calyx. It has to do with Alcoholics Anonymous. And I said, well, I've been in this program for 25 years. I'm always willing to learn something new. So I came over. I've been going to Calyx ever since. I love it. It's a wonderful program. I'm trying to bring some of my Lutheran friends with me, but to no avail. So I'm glad. I'm looking forward to Omaha. That'll be my fifth one, and thanks for coming. Thanks for letting me be here. Okay, bye.